Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm in the middle of my second week teaching on this series I've entitled, You've Already Got It. I tell you, this is a powerful teaching. You know, I had a woman recently give a testimony that she was flipping through the dial and heard me mention this teaching, You've Already Got It. And she said, what a stupid title that was. And she went on to something else, but then she came back and she got to listening to it, and it just revolutionized her life. You know what? This may not be the best title, but I can promise you this is one of the most important things that God has ever shown me. On a list of, you know, 1 through 100 things, I'd say this has to be number 2 or number 3 of the things that God has ever shown me. And actually, this is just an extension of the teaching that I did for the last few weeks on spirit, soul, and body. Once you understand who you are in Christ, that leads to understanding that you're already complete in Him, that you've already been healed, that you've already got all faith, you've already got all wisdom. Your spirit is right now as it will ever be. And it just leads into understanding that you've already got everything, and it's not a matter of getting God to do something. It's just a matter of receiving what you've already been given in your new born-again spirit. I've been teaching on this now for, like I said, this is about my 10th day, and I'm now in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8, and it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yesterday I began to start talking about the balance between grace and faith. It's not one or the other. Most people will take one truth of God's Word and just follow it to the exclusion of the rest of the Word. But you've got to get to where you take the truth and you balance it with other things. It actually is beneficial to you to go find scriptures that look contrary to the thing that you are so firmly believing. And if you let the Holy Spirit, He will use those apparent contradictory scriptures to balance the truth that you've got. And see, this is what a lot of people have not done with grace and faith. You'll either have people talk about grace and they'll emphasize that it's not your goodness, it's not up to you, you have nothing to do with it, it's all God, it's just grace. And they'll get into an extreme, into a ditch over on that side of the road. Or they'll go the other direction is, no, you've got to do certain things. You need to study, you need to pray, you need to do this and this and this. And they get a truth that we do need to respond, and there are things that we can do. But they take that with, if you don't balance it with grace, you get into an extreme over here where it's all legalism. On my program yesterday, I spent quite a bit of time talking about some of the abuses of grace, how that leads people into Calvinism and into hyper-sovereignty of God type of stuff. If you abuse grace, that's the abuse of it. Well, over on the other side, the abuse of faith is works and legalism. And that produces condemnation. And praise God, we've been redeemed from all of that. But there is a true faith and there is a true grace. You've got to get to where you put these two in balance. And let me say it this way, that it's not true faith unless your faith is in what God has already accomplished by grace. And it's not true grace unless you're emphasizing that you have to respond in faith to receive it. Unless you take, if your grace or faith isn't balanced by the other one, and if you don't mix these two together, then it's not the true biblical grace and faith. I don't know if you got that, but that was an important statement that I made right there. And you need to understand that, because there's a lot of people that will take one truth to an exclusion or to an extreme, and that's what you call error. And you've got to balance these two together. I talked about some of the abuses of grace. Here's one of the abuses of faith. Let me turn over to this verse in Mark chapter 11. And in verse 23 and 24, these are the scriptures that Kenneth Hagin wrote. That's a joke. Don't anybody write in and complain about this. Kenneth Hagin You know, he taught on these so much that people thought he had written them, but they were just real revelation to him, and it was good. Let me drop down to verse 24. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Now, this is a scripture that is also often used, and people use this to talk about the potential of faith, what faith can do. And some people just say, man, I can believe for anything, whatsoever I desire. You know, in the Greek, this whatsoever means whatsoever. It means anything. It means that there is no limitation to this. And so can you use this to just go do anything? Well, some people, see, would sit there and interpret this and say, well, yes, you can. Other people, well, no, there's limitations to it. Well, where do you find that in this verse? It says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Can you just believe for anything? For instance, I grew up in Marlington, Texas, and there was, you know, back in the beginning of the charismatic move, there weren't people who had been Spirit-filled and leaders in the charismatic move. Everybody was basically brand new in this. And so there was some real flaky, weird stuff that happened in the beginning days. And in Arlington, Texas, there was a woman that started a Bible college, only had a few women come into her Bible college. But she took this verse and she said that her desire was to have Kenneth Copeland as her husband. And so she claimed him in the spirit and said she was going to marry Kenneth Copeland. And the way she dealt with Gloria Copeland, Kenneth's wife, was to say that she just cursed her and commanded her to die and get out of the way. And she actually, in this Bible college, had a wedding ceremony where she married Kenneth Copeland in the spirit. Now, he wasn't there. But she had, you know, had this wedding where spiritually speaking he was there and believed that they were united in the spirit, and she just waited on Gloria Copeland to die and get out of the way. And you know what? She based it on Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire. Well, this is what she desired. And so she confessed it with her mouth and believed it in her heart, and she said she would have it. Now, most of you watching this program will say, well, that's not right. Why isn't it right? Just because you don't feel that it's right? Are you just going to sit here and interpret the word as, well, I just don't feel that we can do that, but I feel we can do this. So are you just going by how you feel about things? I agree with you that that's not right, but why isn't it right? Here's the answer. You are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8. Faith doesn't make God do anything. All faith does is appropriate what God has already provided by grace. And the reason you can't sit there and claim somebody else as your mate and curse their mate and command them to die and get out of the way, the reason that won't work is because God didn't provide adultery and murder in the atonement of Jesus. You can't make God do anything that He hasn't already done through Jesus. And Jesus did not provide adultery and murder in His atonement, so your faith can't make Him do it. Boy, that's powerful. See, this is why you can't take Mark 11:24 and say, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that I'm going to rob a bank, I'm going to get away with $1 million and they will not catch me because I confess it with my mouth and believe it in my heart. Whatsoever things I desire, it's mine. Why won't that work? Because God didn't provide thievery for you in the atonement of Jesus. Faith doesn't make God do anything. All faith does is reach out and appropriate what God has already provided by grace. And if God has already provided it by grace, then that means it's independent of you. It's not based on your goodness. God didn't see your need and respond to you. God provided this through Jesus 2,000 years ago. Jesus came to this earth full of grace and truth is what it says in John chapter 1. He was full of grace and He provided salvation for us and healing for us 2,000 years ago before you and I were ever born. It doesn't have anything to do with how good you are. But does that mean that you're just automatically then saved, healed, delivered, prosperous, joyful, happy, all of these kind of things? No, those things have all been provided by grace. But you have to reach out and by faith appropriate it. But if you understand this correctly, your faith isn't making God do anything. By grace, He's already provided it. Faith just reaches out and takes what God has already given you. Boy, if you can understand this, this took me 20 years to get to where I could say what I've said on this program. If you could understand the depth of what I've said, this would solve just so many problems. You wouldn't worry. You wouldn't be anxious, careful about, will I obtain this? No, because God's already obtained it for you. He's already provided it. And now all you got to do is just receive it. It's not based on whether you're holy enough, if you're doing enough, or, you know, are you as talented as somebody else? Do you have the same giftings and abilities? It's not based on anything. God, by grace, has provided everything, and all faith does is just reach out and obtain it. Boy, that's powerful. That changed my life. This totally, totally changed my life. You know, I was raised to accept the Lord. I got born again when I was 8 years old. And I've always known the Lord or known about Him. But you know what? I was just mediocre. Matter of fact, I was less than mediocre in a lot of things. I was an introvert. Couldn't even look at a person in the face. And one of the things that held me back, I believed God could do anything, but I was basically taught that He responded to us. And if I would live holy, and if I would study the Word, and if I would be moral and good and all of these things, then God would grant me His love and acceptance and power and victory working in my life. And because of that misunderstanding, I lived a holier life than most people. But see, I was thinking that God responded to my faith. I thought that when I did the right thing, then God would move, that my faith moved God. And I can give you a personal testimony that I've lived holier than most of you watching this program. I mean, I have lived a holy life. That doesn't make me better than anybody else. Who wants to be the best sinner that ever went to hell? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. I'm just saying, I lived a holy life. And I was thinking that if I would just be good enough and holy enough, then God would answer all of my prayers and things would happen. And it never worked that way. I saw a number of people die. And I was praying for all of them. I didn't have any power in my life. I didn't have any joy in my life. It didn't work. Because I was trying to make God move by my faith. But then I found out that God, by grace, already loved me. That He already provided all of this. I got this revelation of you've already got it. And now I am more diligent. I live more holy than I've ever lived. But I don't live holy in order to get God to do anything. I believe that God, by grace, has already provided everything. But I live holy so that Satan won't be able to dull my senses, my spiritual perception to God and what He's done for me. I live holy so that Satan won't be able to put a weight around me that hinders me and slows me down and keeps me from winning the race. I live holy because Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, don't you know that to who you yield yourself, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I don't live in sin because I don't want the devil to have inroad into my life. So I still live holy, but I no longer live holy or do things in faith trying to move God or get God to respond to me. I now use faith as my positive way of responding to what He's already done. And it's my way of just, you know, for instance, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. How do I know what God has done for me by grace if I don't get into the Word? So now I study the Word not in order to impress God and gain a star from God or some credit that I can cash in for an answered prayer. That's the way that a lot of people really live their life. They think that God is keeping track of how much time they study the Word, how much time they pray, how much they go to church. And then after you do so many good works, you get so many credits that you can cash in, and this will give you some credit with God, and God will answer your prayer. That's the way that a lot of people live. I used to do that at one time. I thought, well, I know God exists, but He just isn't moving in my life because I haven't done enough. And so I'd make a commitment that I'm going to study more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to be better. God, I'll barter with You. If I'll do this, will You do this? Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Even though I can't see you, I know that there's people all over the world thinking, man, what's wrong with that? That's the way that I live. See, you aren't understanding grace and faith. You aren't understanding the balance. You think that God is responding to your goodness and to your holiness, to your acts of faith. But the truth is, God, by grace, has already provided it. And your faith doesn't make God do a thing. All your faith does is reach over and take what God has already given. You know, I've got a teaching on this. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but let me just give a very quick synopsis of this teaching that I've entitled Our Sabbath Rest. This is really powerful, and it's an illustration of this truth about grace and faith. And in this teaching, basically, it's taken from Hebrews chapter 4, where it says God rested on the seventh day from all of His works. And so it uses this rest that it says is available to us, and it goes back to the Sabbath rest when God created things. So go all the way back to the book of Genesis. And when God created the heavens and the earth, mankind was the crowning jewel of God's creation. Many places say that. Psalms chapter 8, a lot of different places talk about this. And yet man was created last, not first. You know why? Because things weren't ready for him. If God would have created man first, did you know He would have had to tread water for 3 days until there was land to walk on? It wasn't ready. And then, after the land was created, He said, let there be trees. Let there be all of this vegetation. And trees would have been popping up, and mountains would have been popping up. And it just wasn't ready. There wasn't even food for Him to eat at first. So God created everything first. He created the heavens and the earth, and then He created light. He created the sun. He created the dry land. He created the animals. He created the food for man to eat. And then at the very end of the sixth day, after He had already created the animals, the last thing He created was mankind because, and there's a reason that He did it that way, because He created everything that mankind would ever need, and then He created man, and immediately after that, God rested. He took a Sabbath, not because God was worn out, but because He had done everything. Everything was perfect. It was complete. There was nothing left to do. If He had done any more, it would have messed it up. It was perfect. And so immediately after the creation of man, God rested, and man entered into His rest. What I mean by that is man didn't have to go plant trees. God had already created them. He didn't have to wait 7 years for them to bear fruit the way it is with most fruit trees. They were already fully producing. His food was already produced. The oxygen that He needed to breathe was already there. The water that He needed to drink was already there. The climate was just perfect. God created everything, and man immediately entered into this rest where they didn't have to work to make something happen. They already had a banana. They just reached out and grabbed it and peeled it. Now, this didn't mean that they didn't do anything. They could have just sat there and He says, well, God, You provided everything else. You feed me. And God wasn't going to peel the banana and stuff it down them. He wasn't going to put some intravenous tube into them and make them just get their nourishment intravenously. There's something that they had to do, but their actions didn't make God do something. God had already done it, and all they had to do was just reach out and take it and say thank you. They had to take the banana and peel it. They had to take a pineapple and they had to split it and cut it somehow or another and get in there. God had provided everything, but then they did something to receive what He had already provided. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it uses that same picture to say that there is now a rest to the people of God. And what this is saying is that God, through Jesus, has already provided everything. He's already provided your forgiveness of sins. You don't have to ask Him to forgive your sins. He's already done it. Now just reach out and take it. He's already healed your body by His stripes. You were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. You don't have to do something to get God to heal you. He's already placed healing on the inside of you. Now just reach out and by faith take it. Does that mean you don't have to do anything? No, you do have to stand and speak the Word of God and believe, but your believing doesn't make God do it. In the same way that God had already provided all of the fruit that Adam and Eve needed, but they had to reach out and do something, peel it, eat it. Likewise, God has already provided your healing, your prosperity, your deliverance, your joy, your peace. It's all placed on the inside of you. But there's things you have to do to receive it. You got to get into the Word of God and you got to renew your mind. Not because God's going to look at you and if you spend 5 hours, He's going to grant you one answered prayer. No, but it may take you 5 hours to get your mind renewed so that you could receive what God had already provided for you. You still need to do things. You need to go to church. You need to live right. You need to love God. You need to love people. You need to read the Word. You need to pray. You need to tithe. You need to do a lot of different things. But those things don't move God. They move you over to where God is, into a place of faith. And they help you to receive from God. Some of you are probably thinking, what's the difference? You're splitting hairs. One way or the other, you still got to do all these things. Man, it makes all the difference in the world. It makes a huge difference to do something as a response to God instead of doing something trying to gain a response from God. Boy, that's big. I lived a large part of my life trying to be holy enough and trying to get God to move. And praise God, since He's given me this revelation, now I am living my life in response to what God has done. This doesn't mean that I don't study the Word and that I don't pray. I do all of those things, but I don't do it anymore to make God love me. I do it because He does love me, and I want to find out how much He loves me, and I want to find out what He's done. I do this to change my heart towards God, not God's heart towards me. See, this is what legalism, the abuse of faith, will do. If it puts all of the effort on you, it will tell you that you got to do these things, and if you'll do it, then God will love you. No, God loves you completely independent of what you deserve. God loves you because He is love, not because you are lovely. So does that mean that you can just never study the Word and pray and don't ever go to church and don't do anything about it because, after all, God loves you? Well, God's love for you will be the same whether you do those things, but your love for God won't be the same if you don't study the Word and pray and go to church. Holiness doesn't change God's heart towards you, but it will change your heart towards God. God loves you, and there is nothing you can do about it. That's grace. But there's a lot you can do to receive that grace and to let what that grace has provided manifest itself in your life. And you have to study and you have to seek the Lord and you have to do the right things. But it doesn't make God move. It is you opening up your heart and allowing what God has already provided for you to come out. Man, that's huge. That is huge. I've said a mouthful. I'm out of time today, but I do encourage you to listen to our announcer. And I'd like to encourage you to write and get these materials. They would make a huge difference in your life. Our announcer is going to give you that information. And please call or write today. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled, You've Already Got It, is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, You've Already Got It is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Grace and Faith Free of Charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled Our Sabbath Rest. This product is available on CD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the New England area next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th, in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th, in Johnson City, Tennessee September 17th and 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center Sunday, October 2nd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference October 3rd through the 7th, in Warwick, England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference October 24th through the 26th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
When you get to where you know this better than you know the news broadcast and better than you know the sports score and who's ahead in this and that and all of these kind of things, when you get to where the Word of God dominates your life, it will give you the ability to reject all of this unbelief and negativism of the world. And it'll build you up and it'll give you faith.
Join Andrew Womack for the New England Gospel Truth Seminar, August 25th through 27th. Log on to awmi.net for more information. While flipping TV channels in their home in Kathmandu, Nepal, Bob and Dawa Wesley stumbled across the Gospel Truth broadcast with Andrew Womack, and their lives were changed forever.
When I found out that how much God loved me and what He did for me, I started understanding the gospel, actually.
Desiring to fulfill God's call on their lives, Bob and Dawa moved to Colorado Springs and attended Caris Bible College. Then it was back to Nepal and back to work.
I started walking towards my office and I started seeing these two little boys, and their feet was cracked and, you know, their clothes were really, really dirty. I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, feed them.
With that direction from God, their ministry was born, feeding the destitute boys of Kathmandu, both physically and spiritually.
I've always focused on sharing the gospel with these kids. And it is only the Word of God that changes the lives of the people. It is only the gospel.
Another changed life, changing the world.